This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is Dukes and Bell. We're getting ready for the start of the SEC tomorrow. Full slate of games, and I'm excited about it. Dogs get a chance to start their season against Arkansas, and Seth Emerson, who writes for The Athletic, covers Georgia football and athletics, and has for a very long time, joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline as part of our SEC preview brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, a proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs. And Seth, I don't know if you have any more insight or not, but Mike and I have been talking about it all week. Who's the quarterback going to be?
Dwan Mathis. Next question.
All right. So will we see Jay? By the way, is this the longest medical evaluation in the history of college sports?
Possibly, but I'm not sure. It's kind of immaterial at this point. Mathis was going to be the quarterback. I'm not going to say whether or not Daniels was cleared, but mm-hmm. I think the decision was made long enough ago that they couldn't, even if it was close, even if it was unsure. They didn't want to devote a bunch of first-team reps to a guy that they couldn't be sure would be cleared. And I think Mathis also impressing him the way they did and being able to do some things that they had hoped to do with Jamie Newman allows them to take it a little bit more slower with JT Daniels anyway.
Now, Mathis was committed at one point. He was going to go to Ohio State, right? Is that right?
Yeah, that was actually the third school he was committed to. He was first committed to Iowa State.
Right.
Like around his sophomore, junior year of high school, then to Michigan State, and then to Ohio State. So he kind of worked his way up. Iowa State, Michigan State, Ohio State, and then the Justin Fields things happen, and he ends up at Georgia. Sort of a trade, right, almost, that at the time looks not good for Georgia, but who knows? Maybe the trade isn't done.
People don't realize how big this guy is because, again, he had the brain operation, the surgery, and all that that entailed. He's 6'6". So I know we think of, like, the dual, you know, I mean, we talked to Shockley yesterday. This guy's a lot bigger. He's a big dude.
Yeah, Shockley was 6'2". Still is, but as a football player, 6'2". And Mathis is, you know, Mathis was listed actually coming out of high school at 6'4". He's now 6'6". So Georgia's strength and conditioning program really putting on the inches on his, but you get the point. Like at that point, it doesn't matter too much. He's still listed at 205. I don't know if he's put on weight, but he's a tall kid. He's got that long, smooth throw. He can run. He's intriguing.
Seth Emerson joining us, guys, talking about the Dogs as part of our SEC preview. Let's talk about, you know, this O-line and all the things that we've heard about how good this O-line could be. Now, obviously, Sam Pittman helped put a lot of these guys in place, but this is a line that is going to open up holes for Zamir White. Obviously, they're going to protect Dwan Mathis and you know, give him time to throw the ball down the field to Pickens. How good is this O-line compared to what we've seen over the last couple of years, in your opinion?
You know, talent-wise, it's hard to beat last year because three of the starters last year are now starting in the NFL as rookies. Another one would be starting for Georgia at left tackle, but now he's find out if he's getting a waiver to play tomorrow. But Georgia still has a lot of talent there, and they could perform better this year because the offense could be set up better. The issue with last year was they didn't quite get the consistent lot of times because it was five going against nine or ten in the box. The defense didn't respect the passing game because they didn't have to a lot of times. Georgia, if they can get the passing game going, if they can force the safety and the outside linebacker to worry about Dwan Mathis as a runner and really truly stretch the field, then it's going to be easier for Zamir White and James Cook to get the ball and get some holes going up the middle and for that O-line to get a push, to get a few more one-on-one matchups, 5-on-6, 5-on-7 versus the 5-on-9, 5-on-10 they were facing last year.
It is Seth Emerson with his guys from The Athletic covering the Georgia Bulldogs. Real quick, we talked a little bit about this yesterday with Shock. Were you surprised by the Otis Reese allegations? I mean, we don't know the full story, so we've seen other players, you know, do what they've got to do to get the transfer done. What do you make of all this?
Yeah, the Reese thing was flying under the radar because everyone was really focused on Cade Mays. And Reese, I had to check, like, recently, like, has he gotten his waiver to play yet at Ole Miss? And he obviously wasn't the player that at Georgia that Cade Mays was. But then he obviously decided to go full tilt, and that was a message that was aimed at pressuring and shaming the SEC into letting him have the waiver. You know, the stuff he said about racism with local police and UGA police is something that was corroborated, at least one specific incident by Kyrus Jackson, who, you know, he's one of Georgia's team leaders, and there were a few other Georgia players like Monty Rice, Demetrius Robertson, who came out and tweeted their support just in general, just saying, let him play. But he didn't allege, like, racism within Georgia's program. Mm-hmm. What he alleged was that Kirby basically, before what was the fifth game that would have burned his red shirt, like, quote-unquote, manipulated him into playing. But, you know, look, the SEC rule at this point, it's on the SEC's desk. The SEC rule is that the former school doesn't have a say in it. Now, if you believe that if Georgia went to Greg Sankey right now and said, we're fine with it, just sign off on it, then, yeah, I think it's reasonable to believe that. But it looks from all outward appearances that this was a case of playing time. You could look at it, like, especially once Richard LeCount came back for senior year, it was going to be hard for Otis Reese to have a path to playing, to at least starting as a junior. And he's doing what other people have done, which is to try to, you know, throw everything out there to exert some pressure. Doesn't mean that there's not some truth to some of it.
Seth Emerson joining us, guys. Again, brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, our SEC preview, a proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs. I wasn't as worried about the quarterback situation simply because I know this defense is going to be stout. When you've got guys like, you know, Malik Herring and Monty Rice and N'Kobe Dean, all these guys coming back, there's a nice mix, Seth, of senior leadership here and then just guys that can flat-out play that are coming back. This defense is loaded, isn't it?
It is, and there's no weak link. Tell me where the weak link is, like any position, any unit, and there's not a weak link on the second. They're deep everywhere. Guys like Tyreek Stevenson, Trayvon Walker, sophomores who were five stars who could start for almost any other team in the country, don't have guaranteed starting spots. Tyreek Stevenson will probably be nickel corner or dime corner. That's just how deep they are. And that is not just being greedy in terms of that depth and being able to afford some injuries. It makes them better because it's what they did last year. They were able to shuttle in guys and keep guys fresh and say, all right, you're a first down guy, you're a second down guy, you're a third down and short guy, you're a third down and long guy, et cetera, et cetera. And so they shuttle guys in and out. They play 23, 24 guys, and these guys are all fresh because they're specializing. You know, there's edge rushers that are only coming on third down, stuff like that. And they're going to be able to do that to start this year too.
It is our man Seth Emerson from The Athletic talking about the Dogs. We find out from Seth that yes, it will be Dwan Mathis. Dwan time, as he'll be under center. The Jamie Newman thing, by the way, how blindsided were they by that? I know we haven't had a chance to debrief since all that went down.
That was one of, everyone publicly was blindsided by it. They keep things battened up there. We've heard some buzz that, like, since then that they had an inkling that something was up with him a little bit before that. But look, he played in Georgia's last, or the preseason scrimmage. The first preseason scrimmage they had was that Saturday. He opted out. He went and told Kirby Smart the following Tuesday. In that first preseason scrimmage, he and Daniels split first-team reps, and Dwan Mathis got a few situational first-team reps. So they were planning on Newman being the starter unless, you know, he didn't win the job. That was their plan. He opts out. They go back to the drawing board, and here we are with Mathis being the guy, partially because Daniels isn't cleared. But like we said, if Daniels had been cleared, it's not 100% certain that he would have been the starter.
Seth, what happens Saturday? Dogs handle their business. Does Arkansas even challenge this dog team on Saturday?
Yeah, I don't think so. And it probably helps Georgia's cause that Arkansas is only going to have like 16 to 17,000 in there. So right, you're not going to be dealing with a ferocious home crowd. Then again, look, it's 2020. There's going to be some funky results. There was no spring practice. We had an elongated summer, but it's been different. So you can't rule anything out at this point. But everything I've heard indicates that Georgia's in good shape this week, that they're, you know, you're not going to see this, like, you know, 30, 35 guys not there like you've seen, like, for Georgia Southern a couple weeks ago. They should be have enough guys to take care of business tomorrow.
The schedule when it came out, obviously everybody wanted to see, you know, Arkansas, maybe Miss State first. But the run of games that Georgia's got to play, I mean, that's no joke. I mean, there's nobody in the country, I say every week, Seth, that's going to play the kind of schedule that Georgia's going to play with Auburn. And by the way, we shouldn't sleep on Auburn, I don't think.
No. And the first, after this week, the run of the next four games, if I'm remembering right, I'm just trying to live week to week because you're also hoping all none of these games get canceled or postponed, but right. Auburn, Tennessee, Alabama, and then I believe it's Kentucky.
Good old line.
Florida.
Yeah.
If I have that right. Yeah. And Kentucky's a team that's people are starting to talk a little bit more about them. I think it's likely that Georgia's toughest five games are in a row after this one against Arkansas. Now you got South Carolina in there in November, and you know, say what you will, but I was there when South Carolina came to Georgia and won last year too. So, but yeah, I mean, it's going to be a run here. I still think Georgia's the favorite in the East, no matter what that media vote that was released yesterday was. I think that they have a better chance of beating Alabama with only 20% capacity, although I'd still pick Alabama at this point. But at this point, I think Georgia's the favorite in the East, and I expect them to go 8-2, 9-1, probably 9-1. But again, it's going to be a crazy year. It's going to be a weird year. So I don't think you can assume anything.
Seth, Attack the Day. Oh, that's your book. I'm sorry. Hey, man.
How's the book selling, by the way? Right? How's the book selling?
Appreciate you.
Everything I hear is good. Everything, you know, people. My wife is only through 33 pages, and she's not going to read further. But she's, you know, she's an academic. She really is not a football fan. She's not impressed by any of my football stories, but everyone else really likes it, and it's going well, and sales are good. From everything I've heard.
No, it's good. Check it out, guys. It is called Attack the Day. I'm clowning around, but it's Kirby Smart and Georgia's Return to Glory. It's everywhere you can find books, guys. Good, if you want a good read as you head into football season. Hey, man, appreciate you. Thanks for stopping by. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, guys.
Seth Emerson. Dogs, he says, should not have a problem against Arkansas. Laying out the season there, interesting stuff. Hey, Pac-12 is back. We're going to talk about that coming up in about 25 minutes and what it means for college football. If you missed Hayden Hurst on the show earlier this week, we're going to replay that for you as well in the 4 o'clock hour. Really good stuff. And then we find out that Hayden Hurst and Dak have actually connected, and they're going to do some stuff we'll tell you about. But coming up next, Yeah Man, No Man, it's our Tailgate at Home 2020 edition on Dukes and Bell.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.